if we create a relationship based on our conversation today and you enter my database, you know 290 people, that people know who you are, and you have a level of connection with those people. And that means that you could refer me to 290 of your friends and family that also may do business. And really, it's not about you necessarily doing direct business with me. It's more about what's behind you. And when you start to think about every single person in your database having that ability to refer you to 290 people, that's where you get exponential growth in your business.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. My guest today is Jim Remley, an internationally recognized expert in residential real estate. Entering the real estate industry at the age of 19, he went from college dropout to real estate rockstar by becoming ranked in the top 1% of realtors in the United States. At 24, he opened his first real estate company and grew this to 17 offices, becoming the largest independent real estate company in the state of Oregon. After selling the company, Jim went on to become a sought-after instructor for the National Association of Realtors, as well as the co-founder of the Luxury Home Council. Jim is the author of the prestigious Accredited Luxury Home Specialist designation and also the author of three best-selling books, including Sell Your Home in Any Market. Today, Jim leads one of the largest real estate firms in the state of Oregon with over $834 million US dollars in sales volume a year, with just over 160 active brokers. And today, we're going to be finding out from Jim how to become a top earner, a great business leader, and much more. So welcome to the show, Jim Remley.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us all the way across from the United States this morning. We love getting to know our friends over in the US.
My pleasure.
So where to begin? So you founded the Luxury Home Council. You're the president of a company called eRealEstateCoach.com and a principal broker. You're still selling. So let's wind back to the beginning. What got you into real estate in the first place?
Good question. So I worked in a lumber mill in Oregon. If you've been to the United States ever, the Oregon is like the lumber capital of the United States. It's all trees. So I worked in a lumber mill pulling what's called green, dealt with all the lumber being cut up. I did that at 17, and I quickly figured out that's not what I wanted to do the rest of my life. It's a lot of work. So I started college, but in college, I met a guy whose dad was in real estate, and he said, we should get a real estate license. So we both studied. He dropped out. I finished. And at 19, I quit my job and dropped out of college and went full-time into real estate. For me, I was fortunate that I struggled for the first 6 months or so, but after that, I kind of took off and started doing very well.
Amazing. Do you remember your first sale? Most people remember their first sale.
Oh yeah, first sale. It was about an hour and a half drive from my office and it was in the middle of nowhere. I went up there at night to meet some buyers. Today, I tell every agent never to do this. I went up there at night. It was a locked gate and it was 10 acres and it was an old broken down mobile home that had been abandoned and it was $55,000.
Yep.
So the sale happened. I closed the transaction. But yeah, that was my first transaction.
Amazing. Yeah. And since then, like you've done everything from 150 sales a year to more, which is a lot in the US. That definitely puts you in the top 1%.
Sure.
What is one of the most memorable sales you've ever made?
Oh, I've had some really incredible sales. One of the most memorable sales that I made was I was driving from my hometown up to visit my mom, who's about 100 miles away. And I was driving and it started to snow. And it was snowing harder and harder and harder. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think I'm going to make it through this mountain pass. But as I looked over to the left, I saw a giant for sale by owner sign. It was on a ranch. And I thought to myself, I know I shouldn't stop and do this because if I stop and do this, I'm going to get snowed in. But I was like, I just can't resist. So I pulled off to the side of the road, walked up to this door of this for sale by owner, it's a big ranch. And I knocked on the door. Turned out it was a renter. And I said, hey, I saw the sign. Are you interested in selling? They said, well, we're actually renting, but here's the owner's name. So I eventually got the listing just from making that call on the way to see my mom. And I did not get snowed in. I actually still ended up selling it myself. It was my first big transaction. I think way back then it was a $500,000 sale. That was 30 years ago. So in today's world, that'd be at a couple million dollar sale at least. And it was all just from what I call stop, drop, and knock. You stop the car, drop what you're doing, and go knock on the door, you know, without fear. And I think that's what prevents a lot of agents from having exponential growth in their business is fear. It's the fear of the unknown. And it's the fear of what if I get rejected, or what's the fear of I'm going to get snowed in, or it's the fear of whatever else is happening in your life. And it prevents you from taking those risks. But as entrepreneurs, we have to live in the risk zone. We have to be really in that place where we're taking consistent risks every single day. And that's what we do as great salespeople, is we take relationship risks and we actually thrive on it. When you look at the top agents in this industry, no matter where they're at in the world, and I've trained people all over the world, you'll find that the ones that are successful have gotten to a place in their career where they're lead generating at least 1 hour a day, sometimes 2 hours a day, and they're taking risks consistently. And the risk is challenge, because what can happen for anyone in any kind of industry is you get bored. And there's a level of monotony that happens in our industry. But in order to get yourself broken out of that, you have to do some things that really test yourself and kind of, I call it pegging your godometer. So I could ask anybody anything at any time and I don't have a problem with it. Where other people might be like, oh boy, you asked, that's a really interesting question you asked. But I can give you an example of this technique in the real world.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
I was just having this conversation on a coaching call right before we got on the call. And in the United States, it's been studied that, and I'm sure it's true everywhere in the world, that on average, we have 27 conversations a day just with people. You know, you go to coffee, to your barista, you're a gas station attendant, you know, you just 27 conversations a day is the average. But in our industry, for every 30 conversations you have, you can average one closed sale, but the conversation has to be about real estate. So the question then is, how do you turn these 27 conversations a day you're having anyway and turn it to opportunity by having it turn towards real estate? What's the secret to that? And really, when you look at top agents, the people that are in the top 1% that are really excelling, you find that they have figured that out. They figured out in natural conversation how to inject the real estate conversation. So an example is if we met at some point today, I might say, you know, I got to ask you a question. I'm in the real estate industry. And so I ask everybody this, don't be offended, but can I ask you what your housing situation is right now? So let's role play this for a second. What's your housing situation right now?
Well, I'm living across the road from a building that is full of asbestos that's about to be demolished.
Oh my God. That does not sound good.
That is actually a true story.
Now, see, this is very interesting because if I didn't ask that question, I'd never know that. So I might say, so you have to be thinking about making a move. Am I right?
I am definitely thinking about making a move.
So you're in the market to make a purchase. Tell me what your dream home looks like. So this is another conversation that we move.
Yeah.
Tell me what your dream home looks like. You know, where would you ideally like to live? And then we begin to build on this. And this is just the starting conversation. Another way to kind of start this conversation, instead of asking what's your housing situation, which is a great way to start it, is to go, hey, I'm in real estate. I'm going to ask you a crazy question. If you could live anywhere in any kind of house, what would that look like for you? Now let's role play this for a second.
Yeah, okay. I have a very clear picture of...
Okay, so if you could live anywhere in any house, where to look? You didn't realize what you did, but you looked up and to the left.
Yeah.
So when you did that, what you did is you accessed a part of your brain that is looking for, it's kind of your dream center, and it's really your aspiration. So you looked up and left, you accessed, what is my dream? What's my aspiration? And now you're going to tell me your aspiration. And go ahead. Now go ahead and tell me what it is.
Well, it's very similar to what's behind you, actually. So, yeah, the coconuts and the palm trees. You're talking to a hardened Sydney sider that's been here for 20 years that just wants a taste of the beach.
Gotcha. So I could flesh that out with you now, and we could really talk about that. Now, this may be so aspirational that it's outside your ability to make it happen now. But what I might do is I might say, you know what I do with my friends is I set up an aspirational search. And it's this little search pattern I put in my local, whatever you guys are using, your portal. And then if anything that comes up that matches that, it'll send you a little link to that. And you can just check it out every month. It's just a kind of a fun thing to look at. And in the meantime, if you want a stepping stone between there and where you're at today, then I'm here to help you too. That's just kind of a conversation starters that you can kind of get into with people. That's really a little bit of what enabled me to get to where I'm at is the ability to take risks and have conversations.
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, even now I feel like I want to tell you everything about where my dream home is and what it looks like.
That's good.
So obviously that is a great sort of dialogue for relationship building and not being too threatening or, you know, oh my God, he wants me to move.
Yeah, exactly. And really what it's about is, and this is something that's hard for people to understand, is that most agents are looking for what is called now business. I'm looking for somebody that's like ready to go right now. You're actually, surprisingly, maybe more ready to go than most people because of what's going on with your life. But most people are going to be not quite that ready. And that's okay. But here's what most agents do. They're always looking for the now client. And if you said, well, I'm not going to make a move for the next 5 years, the weak agent, the new agent would just say, next. And that's a mistake. What we want to do with everybody that we're meeting, that we get into conversation with, really that we get into a relationship with, is we're going to move those people and put them into a long-term incubation platform. And that just means we're going to now have things streaming to you every month, like a drip email. It could be I have my own podcast as an agent, my video, my YouTube channel. But she's going to know that Jim Remley is in her life now forever. And when she gets to a point where she's thinking about, hey, now I want to buy something, now I might say, I'm going to call the guy that I talked to. I'm going to call the guy that's sending me something every month. Because that's 75% of the people you talk to. Only 25% are now clients. 75% are not now clients. So I've got to be able to have a way to incubate them over a long period of time.
Yeah, interesting. So I was talking to someone, actually interviewing someone a couple of weeks ago, who said that the length of time that people need to be nurtured now is actually increased.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that we've got the internet, and I'm pro internet, obviously, but we jump on at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like this as well. My husband and I will sit there with our apps out looking at our dream homes, and it might be 10 o'clock at night after a long day. It might be, you know, 5:30 in the morning when I get up before I come into the office, and I might send off an inquiry on a property or something like that. And then if I'm not ready to go right at that moment, then I will be dropped as a lead. Then when I've got a bit more time, I'll jump back in again.
Yeah.
And then I'll jump out. And then I'll jump back in again. And then I'll jump out. So that is tricky for real estate agents because, as you say, they're looking for the now business, not long-term one. So what are some of the things that you do to stay in touch with people that are not necessarily the now people? Like, you know, what approach do you take with these drip emails and things like that? Like, what do you keep in touch with them about?
That's a great question. So I'm going to give you two different answers here. One is online. We have this kind of thought process that we need to be with people at their ZMOT or their zero moment of truth. And the zero moment of truth is, you know, you're online, you're looking for shoes and you hit the button to buy shoes. That's your zero moment of truth. You just said, I'm buying.
And we have lots of those.
Right. So for a lot of agents, they're thinking, I've always got to be right there at their zero moment of truth. But for us, buying a house or selling a house is such an infrequent thing that most consumers do. It's a 4 or 5 times in a lifetime kind of event. And to think that you're going to be there at zero moment of truth every single time is impossible. You'd have to have $1 billion, you know, of ad spend. It just won't happen. You got to let go of that. And you got to think about, the long-term incubation. For the person like yourself who clicked on a lead or a listing, and we've now captured your information. Now, how are we going to incubate them over time? So several things. Number one, every agent's got to use a CRM, a client relationship management tool. And, you know, there's tons and tons of CRM out there, but you've got to use one. And if your clients have to get put into them. And then you've got to have a communication, what I call matrix. So the matrix can't be, I'm just calling you once a month, because you'd get irritated with that. That's too much if you're not ready to do business with me. So I'm going to call my database, my entire, what I call your sphere of influence, twice a year, but not every month, because that doesn't make sense. So calling is one level. Another part of that communication matrix is texting. So if I've collected your phone number, I may text you. And the text might be something like, hey, just wanted to check in. We've got some new listings coming to market. Would you be interested in start your search this week? You know, something like that. Or if I know what your specific dream search is, and we've narrowed what that is down, my text to you might be, 2 properties just came up in the neighborhood you're interested in. Would you be open to taking a look this weekend? And it's going to be something relative of value. So the third thing I'm going to be doing is email, but broken up into 2 things. There's bulk email, which goes out to my entire database. Bulk email is going to be generally, market statistics, overall market trends, those kinds of things. I will say the open rate for that's very low. It's like 10, 15% maybe. And you don't want to be looked at somebody that's always just getting deleted. So you do that very sparingly, maybe once a month. The texts are a couple times a year, maybe once a quarter max. And then the other side of that would be personalized email. One of the best things you can do is I'm going to specifically send you an email that's relevant to you personally. And I'm going to try to do that 3 or 4 times a year. Now, how do I do that? I do that by getting into relationship with you and knowing you, because every time we talk, I'm taking notes and putting in my CRM about what you're interested in, about who you are as a person. And so when I'm sending you a personalized email, what we do, I'll give you an example of what we do for my company. We do something called Market Insights. So what Market Insights is, we put a pin and a map in the neighborhood you're interested in moving into. And then we continually every month send you market stats just about that area. What new listings came on the market? What sold? What pended? How much did prices go up? How much did prices go down? So every month you're getting highly specific information about what you're interested in. Those open rates are 30 to 40% because that's specific to you. And then on top of that, the other part of the matrix is personal meetings with you. If I can do that once or twice a year, we'll go on coffee, dinner, drinks, lunch. Some of your database will be open to that. Others will not. So you'll have to measure where that's at. But that's what we're doing. So every time I'm in contact with you physically, I'm making a note in my database and I'm saying, here's my next point of contact, what I'm going to do when I'm talking to them, and maybe what I'm going to talk about. So I'm always kind of in flow with what's going to come next.
So if I could just summarize that, you're listening to the person. Let me just say that you're going to need really good listening skills for this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're really going to need to tune into who you're talking to so that you can kind of get back in the car, make some notes, make sure you put them in the CRM system. And then even maybe at the end of the week, have a think about who you've met that week and think, all right, well, what is the next logical step for this person, this person, this person?
And it's always going to be different. Yeah, it's going to be unique to the person. So for you, for instance, because I know you're a podcaster, I know you're involved with the magazine, I might be on the search for information that's relevant to you. So I might say, I just saw this list of the top 10 podcasts in America. I thought you might be interested. And I send you an email and it has nothing to do with real estate. But because we're in relationship, you might go, oh, I want to look at that. Oh, that's an interesting thing. I want to check that out. And now because I've come and delivered value to you outside of real estate, you're much more likely to do business with me in real estate because we're connecting as people. Something else that's a real secret to building rapport and trust with everyone is to understand what people are trying to do, not just in real estate, but in life and in their careers. And so if I'm already in relationship with you and you're part of my database and I'm talking to you at some point and I say, hey, let me ask you, what's your big goals for 2020? What's on the horizon for you? You got any big trips planned? What are your kids doing? What's your spouse doing? You know, and you get into conversation and you tell me I'm going to Hawaii. I might say, oh, when are you going to go? This just happened to me. I'm going to give you an example. So I told a friend of mine I was going to Hawaii. And so a week later, he sent to me a book all about Maui, where we were going to go. And my wife and I took that book with us to Maui because it was so valuable. It had all kinds of information about it. And I emailed him. I said, this is the best thing that we got. And because of that, we'll never forget the book. You know, so those are kinds of things that get you into a relationship status with people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really good advice, actually. So, you know, I'm just, again, thinking about all the ways that you could use that. But definitely, you know, for example, if someone sent me an email saying, Jim Remley, it'd be great for your show, which they did, you know, like, I'm definitely going to go back and thank her.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be about real estate. It
doesn't have to be real estate. It's really about deepening the connection. The numbers behind this are pretty incredible. So in the United States, here's how we look at these numbers, is that for every 10 people in our database, our relationship database, we will average one closed transaction a year. So when I'm goal setting with someone and I say, how many transactions do you want to close in 2020? And they say, I want to close 50 transactions. It's easy math. I'll say, okay, 50 transactions translates into having 500 people in your database. So how many people do you have today? And they'll say, I have 120 or I have 220. I say, okay, great. So we got a gap, and our gap is we got to fill that with people. How do you do that? Well, I'm having 27 conversations a day. If I can just add a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 a day into my pool, that's how I'm going to get to my 50 transactions. a lot of times people are so focused on buying leads or, you know, all the traditional things that we do in this industry that they miss the forest for the trees, because right in front of them every day is plenty of people that they could turn into transactions if they just reached out and took hold of that. There's another study, I'll just share it with you quickly, in the US where every single person in your database that you know that you're in relationship with, you for instance, you probably know way more people, but if we create a relationship based on our conversation today and you enter my database, you know 290 people. That's how many people you're in relationship with, that people know who you are and you have a level of connection with those people. And that means that you could refer me, if you liked me and we had relationship, to 290 of your friends and family that also may do business. And really, it's not about you necessarily doing direct business with me. It's more about what's behind you. And when you start to think about every single person in your database having that ability to refer you to 290 people, that's where you get exponential growth in your business. But it's got to come from a place of authenticity. And I'm really trying to help you in life and in business and in real estate. Because I care about every one of my clients, and I want to turn you into an absolute raving fan, that you're like, Jim Remley is the greatest thing I've ever seen, man. This guy's an animal. I can't even believe all the things he's done for me, right? And so that's where you want to get people to, and it's a process. It's not easy. People got to feel you that you're genuine and you really are trying to help people. But that power of reciprocity, right? If I help you, you help me, it really does work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think too often we meet someone and think, you know, I don't like the expression tire kicker, but I know a lot of people use that, you know, so it means that anyone that you meet, you know, you can't think of them like that.
No, absolutely not.
You've got to think of them as what's beyond them.
Here's what you look at, and we talk about this in my coaching program, is the lifetime value of each client. Every big company across the world identifies the lifetime value of a client. I don't care if it's Starbucks or Walmart or Google, everybody knows their lifetime value of the client. And so when we talk to a person, we want to understand that that person can actually represent a significant amount of money to us if we treat the relationship right and we do our job right. In the United States, it's been studied, and the average lifetime value of a real estate client to an agent is $100,000. Inman actually studied this years back. Back then it was 88,000. Now it's progressed to over 100,000. So when you look at that and you say, if I treat this person that I'm meeting really well, they can represent $100,000 to my business over the next 10 years or 15 years. But what if I don't treat them well? What if I blow them off? Can you afford to lose $100,000 a day because you're not treating these people like with, you know, with the ultimate respect and trying to really get in relationship with them? You can't afford to do it. So all of us have to think about this at a much bigger scale than what we tend to think about.
Absolutely. Let's switch topics for a moment, because I would love to ask you about your actual business growth. You opened your own real estate agency at the age of 24, and you went from a single team to 17 offices. So can you tell me a little bit about that journey? Like, first of all, how did you feel opening your own office for the first time? What was that like?
People ask me why I did that. Why did I go from a top producing agent to opening a real estate company? For me, it's never been necessarily about money, although money's a benchmark for me. It's just how well you're doing. It's not that I focus on money. It's really just a litmus test of where I'm at. So for me, I felt like I wanted to do something that challenged me in a different way. I felt like I had met the challenge of sales, but I wanted to go and do a different kind of sales, which is really recruiting and retaining agents. And so for me, that was the next challenge for me personally to really go out and develop myself. So I opened the company with just me and a partner and one receptionist. So it was three of us looking at each other.
Yep.
And then we just grew it from there. And I'll tell you what grows companies. People ask me, I coach a lot of brokers. I've coached franchises. And they ask me, how do you grow? How do you have exponential growth? And the answer lies in vision. And it really, this is true actually of agents too. At every level, it's all about vision. And really conveying your vision of what you're trying to accomplish to someone, really telling your, what I call your brand story, really, really well. So for me, I was able to, when I sat with anybody, talk about what I was trying to build. Even if I hadn't built it yet, I was able to express to them, listen, here's what I'm really trying to build. I'm trying to build a company. I'll just tell you what I told them. I'm trying to build a company for agents. I'm trying to build a company from the inside out. I don't want to build it top down. I want to build it bottom up. And what that means is every single thing we're going to do, we're going to measure it by coming from it as me being a top producing agent. What do I want the company to deliver to me? You know, that goes from what kind of coffee do I want to drink in the morning? What kind of internet service do I want to have? What kind of website do I want to have? What kind of marketing team do I want to have? What do I want the signs to look like? What do I want the newspaper advertisements to look like? What do I want everything to look like? And that's how we're building this. We're building it from the ground up. And as soon as I started to convey my vision and my excitement and my passion about what I was doing, people buy into your passion. People buy into your excitement and your vision. It has to be different, though. Can't be just, you know, it can't be a copycat. It's got to be something that has a little bit of a unique flavor to it. And once you deliver that, people get excited. That's where the excitement will be like, yes, I want to be a part of this. I want to be on that team. I want to work with that person. Because you're doing something other people aren't. You're not just being me too. What happens is we're becoming a commodity in this business. And the commodity is that when the consumer looks at the real estate agent and says, you are one of 10,000 agents or one of 5,000 agents in the community that I could work with, then it's just like them throwing a dart. Doesn't matter who they work with. I don't care if I click on this person or this person. It doesn't matter. Who cares? They're all the same. They're going to let me in the house. They're going to help me write an offer. They're going to take me to escrow. Who cares? I really don't care. If you allow them to think that way, that's the way they're going to think. You got to step up and say, no, here's how I'm different. Here's how I'm unique. And here's what my passion is, what my vision is. And I think that's the way we were able to grow so fast. But people think it's an overnight success. Getting to 17 offices took 15 years. It wasn't every day a new office popped up.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what you're saying there is that people bought into you and your passion as a leader and then wanted to be part of that culture. Like, so you definitely sort of leading there with values and with culture that people want to find, they want to be a part of that story.
They want to be bound to that. And if you look at a lot of top companies, that story is so true. Howard Schultz with Starbucks, who left the company and then came back. Michael Dell started the company with a vision, left the company, had to come back. Now you ask yourselves, why did they come back? They came back because the company started to fall apart without their visionary presence in the room. I mean, Steven Jobs is another example where he's got vision, he's a powerhouse. Whenever he leaves the company, it's not the same company anymore. You know, it's kind of the same thing that you are the company. You want to be able to express that vision to people. It's really important. And storytelling, it can happen at an agent level too. You can express that at an agent level with your clients. Like, hey, the reason I got in the real estate business is because, and you tell them, here's why I'm in the business and here's what I'm doing differently and here's why I'm so passionate about it. It still translates that way.
That is really interesting because I think as humans, we like to connect with a story. Like at the moment, I'm just enjoying the story that you're telling me.
Right. It's interesting. Everything's story. People forget data. They forget facts, but they always remember a story. And the stories are what truly makes impact, really.
So you just touched on the lead generators then. And, you know, you guys have lead generators in the US and we have them here as well.
Sure. I coached this all over the country, but you cannot be somebody that is reliant and dependent on buying leads from aggregating websites like a Zillow or Realtor.com. And I know you have different ones over in Australia, but that do similar things. As soon as you give up your kind of lead generation arm of your business and you just kind of hand it over to someone else and say, do it for me because it's easier for you to do it for me, what's going to happen is that they're going to take a percentage of your income. And right now that is just flipped over in our country from being paying per lead to paying a referral fee on every transaction. And now it's 35%. But I guarantee you that in 2 years, that'll be 40%. And then it'll be 45%. And then it'll be 50%. It's only going to get worse. What happens is you become an employee of that company. You're just like an Uber driver now. I mean, you're one of anybody else can do that job. And if they don't like the way that you're doing it, and they're going to be measuring you, by the way. And if you're not closing, they will fire you and hire another agent. So there's all these reasons not to do this. The only reason agents do it is because they're lazy. The lazy agent buys leads. The smart agent, the savvy agent, the person that's in it for the long game creates leads. And you've got to say to yourself, either I'm a lead buyer or I'm a lead creator. The winners are lead creators. And the way you create leads, the best way is to be somebody that's a master at building relationships with consumers. And so I totally understand that we may have to, you know, do business with the devil, so to speak, not to call them devils, but do business with people that we may not want to do business with because that's the nature of the beast in our industry. But what I say to all my coaching students is, you should only be buying 10 to 20% of your leads. 80 to 90% of your leads should be created. So the biggest issue for agents is they just don't know how to create leads anymore because they've been buying so many leads. And so it's a retraining process of well, how do I go out and find leads? And so that's what we do with my coaching students all the time, is we're training them how to go out and actually generate leads every day. So lots of tons and tons of ways to do that, but you definitely need to rethink that in your business. Because I just had an agent come to me this morning at my office meeting and said, I just cut Zillow off. I'm not going to spend any more money. Now, what he's doing is he's taking that same amount of money he was spending with them and doing mailings. And his mailings are generating more leads than he was getting from them. And so his actual ROI, his return on investment, is going straight through the roof. He's doing much, much better. You just got to look at what works for you in your market.
Interesting. Let's talk about the future of real estate, because that's a hot topic at the moment. So where do you see that the realtor is still going to have a role in the future? How do we protect ourselves from prop tech? You know, the earth's shaking with prop tech right now, the likes of iBuyers and things like that. And it's no different here either. Sure. Yeah, we've got a lot of players that want to either take part of the transaction away or something like that. How do realtors stay relevant in the future?
The relevancy is related to the value you bring to each transaction. And ultimately, the value you bring to a consumer is advocacy. And you are the consumer's advocate. And you have to take that advocacy seriously. And the way you do that is by helping them up on the buying side, negotiating the best price possible, making sure you're protecting them with inspections and due diligence. And you're really helping them, shepherding them through the transaction in a really good way. It's no different than you choosing maybe a doctor or an attorney or some other highly skilled person. You would not choose your doctor or your attorney or your accountant by going with the lowest bidder, right? You would not do that. Now, why wouldn't you do that? Because you want advocacy. You want somebody in your corner. You want somebody you can trust. And we're dealing with the biggest financial asset that most people own. And so what we have to do is we've got to position ourselves in that position of trust and advocacy. And here's the best way to do it, in my opinion. You make sure that you're showing off your personal statistics in your market. So I like to show off my personal stats and my company stats by saying our company, our agents, on average, help our sellers receive 99% of list price and sell with 70% of the time within the first 30 days. And then we say, compared to the market, the rest of the market is much lower than that, 60% of sales, and it's like 95% of list price in the first 30 days. And when you can show off your personal statistics that back up your advocacy, that's when people are like, oh, I get it. That's why I'm going to pay them 1% more. That's why I'm going to pay them 2% more, because they're getting the job done. So that's where you're coming to conversion. Now, that doesn't mean we can't keep up with tech. We got to keep up with all technology. And we got to understand the game. But the reason why I'm going to hire you is because 90% of the time, I like you and we're in a relationship together and I trust you. And I trust you with the largest financial asset of my life. Now, how is that trust built? It's built because I'm demonstrating to you all of my skills and my competencies through the history and what I'm doing and what I've been able to do in the marketplace.
Yeah. So it's really important to be able to show your customer your process,
exactly,
your numbers, and then price is an outcome, not a debate.
Right. A good example of this really quickly, my wife and I just got married 2 years ago and we were hiring a wedding planner. And so when we went to see each wedding planner, it was a lot like a listing presentation. They'd come in and they present to us, you know, here's all the things we can do. So they had these big presentations. And we looked at them both and we liked them both. They were both friendly, very engaging people. And so then it got down to, okay, what do they cost? Okay, so that was a part of the factor. But they were within $1,000 of each other. So it wasn't like a make or break on the cost. Ultimately, what made our decision, though, was ratings and reviews. Ratings and reviews from other consumers. And we started to look at, you know, the client testimonials, the people that had used our services, and then the awards that they had received. The one that we hired had received multiple awards from multiple people in the wedding industry. And so we were like, okay. And what that established is credibility from third parties, or what's called social proof. And so social proof in our world today with ratings and reviews and industry awards, super big deal. We can't not pay attention to that. We got to pay attention to this.
Yeah, amazing. I've so enjoyed talking to you today.
Thank you.
It's been fantastic. And look, I know you're based somewhere else, but if you could find me my dream home, if you were here in Australia, you'd be hired.
Great.
Seeing as you've got to the guts of the problem so quickly, I'm going to get calls now from a lot of people who are going to want to help me with this. Now, yes, I am looking for the avoidance of doubt. If there was one thing that you would like real estate agents or realtors who might be listening to this to remember from this podcast, or one piece of advice you wish you'd had when you were starting out in the business, what would it be?
Every transaction that you will ever do in your career will be the result of a conversation you've had in the last 2 weeks. That is the best advice I can give to any agent. So if you want to close more transactions, you have to be in more conversations. So conversations are the key to closings. And the avoidance of conversations is the ultimate downfall of all agents. So you have to get into more conversations. That's what I want them to take away from this.
Brilliant. Jim Remley, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.